How can you maximize your influence without power, position, or authority? Let's talk about it. Let's get you some more skills. Let's talk about some things that will make a big difference in understanding human nature, why we do what we do, and how to get other people to want to do what you want them to do and like doing it. The goal here is to convince when you're not in charge. Because face it, no matter where you are in life, somewhere, somehow, somebody else is going to be in charge of something that you want and you need. How do you persuade in the workplace when you don't have the right position, where other people seem to be pulling the strings? How can you become a leader, maybe when you're not the boss? Influence when you don't have the authority? Win when you're not the coach? And negotiate when you're not included? This is what we want to focus on. This is what we're working on. Giving you the skills that will make a big difference in your success, in your life, and your income. So let's focus on how to understand the ego. The goal, of course, when you learn to persuade and influence other people is to really understand why people do what they do. And the goal today is to help you understand the ego and the self-esteem of somebody else, and even yourself. Because no matter what you do for a living, your product, your service, in the workplace, you have to persuade and influence a CEO, a boss, maybe a vice president. Sometimes you're going to have to persuade an entrepreneur that might not think they need your product or service, or even a homeowner that, let's say their home's going into foreclosure, there is a lot of ego and esteem involved there. The goal, as we train persuaders, especially in the negotiation, and you've heard me say this before, is you need to check your ego in at the door. You don't have time to get upset or to get angry. You need to worry about their ego and understand their esteem and understand the difference. Even in the workplace, if you tell a boss what they should do, if you tell your boss that you have a better idea, if you show up your boss, even though it's a great idea, even though they deep down they know they should be doing it, they won't. Because of an ego and esteem issue. Again, you can win the argument, but as Ben Franklin says, the man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So your goal in any of these situations where you don't feel like you have a lot of power or authority is to make your idea their idea. Remember, we're dealing with a lot of people that have low self-esteem, that have some challenges with their ego. And let's talk about some definitions here so you can really understand this. Now, there's self-esteem, and self-esteem tends to be how much you like yourself, how much you like other people, that you're equal as other people, and you have respect for other people. Ego, on the other hand, some people define it as always looking at yourself, your self-importance. Ego always requires outside approval, attention, gratification, social validations. And when you have this high ego that needs to be fed, you believe that you're superior than everyone else. And when we have this ego, sometimes we tend to be condescending and rude. Sometimes we tend to manipulate. All we think about is ourselves. And we really lack in empathy and compassion when we're working with other people. My goal here is to help you understand human nature, why we do what we do, and really get into the ego and esteem. So let's talk about this. Now, the bottom line is that we all want to feel important. We all want to get respect. We all want approval. We all want to belong to a group. And deep down, we're kind of born with this. We want this. Now, a lot of people say they don't need it, but we need that social interaction. We need to work with other people. We want to feel important. In fact, studies show that, and this was done at the University of Michigan, that foremen's a construction crew, they looked at the difference between those that were underneath them that were very bossy. So one foreman was really bossy, and the other type was the one that was a people person, got to know the person, had empathy, had a healthy self-esteem. And the person that was not bossy, that got to know the people, was able to get the workers to work 2 to 3 times harder. We know that, but it's easier for us to force people and make people do things. And William James said it the best. He said, the deepest principle of human nature is the craving to be appreciated. And that is so true. But be very careful here. When you tell someone what they should do, they're going to resist you. When you give your boss a great idea and it wasn't their idea, they'll probably resist you. If you make somebody look bad, they're going to resist you. If you make somebody feel stupid or confused, they are going to resist you. When somebody has a self-esteem, and this could be you or somebody else, you're not worried what other people think. And you could admit that you're wrong, and it seems to be the aspiration of most people, and we tend to cover it up when we don't have a healthy self-esteem. And I think the bottom line here you need to understand is everybody suffers from low self-esteem in some aspect of their life. But we like to cover it up. And sometimes this self-confidence or lack of self-confidence can affect your job, your education, relationships. It makes a big difference in your success. In fact, the National Institute for Student Motivation rated the self-confidence as more influential in academic achievement than IQ. Believing that you can do it, knowing that you can do it, feeling comfortable about yourself. And there's also direct correlation between people's income levels. Here's the challenge, and let me ask the question. Is self-esteem at an all-time high or an all-time low? Why is it an all-time low? Okay, it could be economy's part of it. And we know, especially for men, that our ego, our self-esteem is rooted in our jobs. Would that be fair to say? And so when we lose our job, we lose our home as a provider, man, our self-esteem takes a big hit. The media doesn't help with the sitcoms showing, you know, the perfect world. The media telling us how we should smell, how fat or skinny we should be, what we should wear. And human nature is also, we will always, until we learn, compare our weaknesses to other people's strengths. And for that reason, we just don't have this healthy self-esteem. Now, here's the amazing study. You look at third graders, and 80% of third graders have a healthy self-esteem. They feel good about themselves. They like themselves. By the time they get to fifth grade, 2 years later, it's gone from 80% down to 20%. And by the time they become seniors in 12th grade, that number has dropped to 5%. You have to understand, everybody you meet, for the most part, has a low self-esteem. They need it to be boosted. If you can boost somebody's self-esteem, if you can help somebody feel better about themselves, if you give somebody hope, if you can help them see themselves doing what you're asking them to do, the doors of influence swing right open. But most people do not praise because of their own lack of self-esteem. And we have this big ego. And when people have a big ego, we tend to find security or worth in our possessions, in a degree, in our position, having more than somebody else. We have this scarcity mentality. And I think Stephen Covey said it the best. He says, an abundance mentality springs from an internal security, not from external rankings, comparisons, opinions, possessions, or associations. So we have to take a look at this and how we work with people. There's a big difference between a low self-esteem and a big ego. For example, when people have a low self-esteem, they tend to gossip. Why do people gossip? Show how much they know, and then we also do it to push other people down so we can feel better about ourselves. And Bill Lemley says, when nobody around you seems to measure up, it's time to check your yardstick. Okay? And there's a lot of truth in that. And so if we can push other people down, if we can be condescending and arrogant and be superior, that makes us feel better about ourselves. Resentment is something that comes from a low self-esteem, or when we have that big ego. The inability to take criticisms. When somebody criticizes you, tries to help you out, tries to give you a pointer, it makes you upset, it makes you angry, and you attack the person. The inability to accept compliments. Hey, you look beautiful in that dress. Really, this old thing? I found it in the gutter this morning. Okay, well, maybe not that extreme. But that's important, taking compliments, taking criticism, understanding that we all suffer in different aspects here, and we need to understand exactly how this works, especially if you want to influence other people when you don't feel that you have a lot of power or influence and control in the situation. So when people have a low self-esteem, they find security and worth in external things versus a healthy self-esteem. When you like yourself, it's okay. It doesn't matter what you have or what you drive or what you're doing. You have an internal security. versus a low self-esteem is a scarcity mentality, a high self-esteem is abundance mentality. When we have a low self-esteem, we're always comparing ourselves to others. Versus a high self-esteem, there's really no need to compare. Low, we tear other people down. High, we lift people up. When you have a low self-esteem, it's who is right. Versus a high self-esteem is what is right. And here's one of the reasons it's so important. When you're working with people, and this is how we accumulate wealth, is the more people we can work with, the more successful we're going to be. When you look at the studies of dissatisfied workers, why people hate their jobs, let me give you the complaints. Money is number six on the list. Okay, do you understand that? Money is number six on the list. The first ones are all self-esteem related. Failing to give credit when credit was due. Failing to correct grievances when something went wrong. Failing to encourage somebody. Failing to criticize somebody in private, so they were criticizing them in public, damaging the ego. Failing to ask opinions. All those are ego and esteem related. The next one is money. But think about it. A lot of people work at places when they feel that worth, when they feel wanted, when they feel part of the group, when they feel accepted, people will go a long way. Because you can bruise somebody's ego. You could tell somebody what to do. In fact, I was a general manager for this company. And one of the departments I was over was customer service. And there was a young lady there that nobody liked, that was late for work, was condescending, was mean to workers, wasn't very good on the phone. There was hope there. I could see where she had some talent. But then my job was to pull her in and reprimand her and tell her what she needed to change, which I could have done, but that would have bruised the ego. And when you tell someone what to do while you're bruising the ego, most of the time, you're going to get the opposite of what you want. So I walked into my office. I said, no, don't sit there, because she was going to sit in the chair. I said, sit in my chair. So she looked at me. She went around the desk, sat in my chair, and I sat where she was supposed to sit. And I said this, you know what's going on better than I do. You are living it every day. If you were me, how would you fix this challenge? And what do you think happened? She was more critical. She knew exactly what she needed to do. It was her idea. I didn't bruise any self-esteem. And she became a very good employee. Whether it's your children or in the workplace, we need to understand how this works. We like to throw our weight around sometimes, tell people what they should do, but a lot of times it gives us the opposite result. So a big thing we can work on right now, and we've talked a little bit about this, is understanding praise. How much does it cost to praise somebody? It's free, but remember, we tend to not do it because of our own lack of self-esteem. Now, how hungry are people for a compliment, for any type of attention, for any type of praise? How hungry is the average person? They are starving because they're not getting it, and we need it. Praise boosts our self-esteem. It releases energy. It opens the door to influence, and people like you more. That's the bottom line. The scientific term here is called ingratiation, which would mean brown nosing or bootlicking. Now, this kind of scares us because we see a lot of people that do it, and they do it the wrong way, and it's obvious that they're doing it. But I hate to break the news to you, but in the workplace, those that ingratiate, those that brown nose, make more money, get more promotions, because people are so hungry for it. Now, I'm not encouraging that. I'm just saying that's how hungry people are. Even when they know it's not sincere or real, it still feels good. When you buy that dress and they say, oh, you look good in that dress, even though we're thinking, well, they're doing it for the commission, it still feels kind of good. In fact, they did a study at Hollins College where all the male psychology students got together, and it was a very small campus, and all what they started to do is compliment all the women wearing blue on campus. So what happened to the women wearing blue on campus? Bigger self-esteem, and more people started to wear blue. And then they switched it up with red and had the same results. And that's why I mentioned the clothing stores and the suit stores, how often they use praise. In fact, my wife wanted to go to the mall once, and I wasn't sure I wanted to go. She says, come on, let's go. We'll do a little research. And that was enough for me. I like to monitor persuasive situations. So we went to the mall, and she went into a store I didn't want to go into. I said, I'm going to go into the suit store and see how persuasive they are. She's all, you don't need a suit. I'm like, I know, I'm just looking. So I walk into this suit store, and this well-dressed young man comes up and says, you know, hey, how are you doing? He said, what are you looking for? And I said, I have a suit, probably, you know, blue. And then he says, what size are you? I said, well, you know, really, I'm not quite sure. He said, well, let's measure you. And he measured, you know, around my waist, and then he measured my chest, and then he measured my chest again, and he looked at me in the eye, and he says, hey, do you work out? I said, why, yes, I do. And then he says, you're going to need the athletic cut. And I left with a suit that day, not because of that, but because of the price. At least that's what I'm telling myself. It was such a simple thing that anybody could do. And there is a formula. So let me give you a formula on how to make this work. When you see people in any aspect of life, whether you want something from them or not, whether you want to try to influence them or not, maybe you need the points for the future, is you always praise the positive things. Meaning, you wouldn't go to a family reunion and say, oh, you're not in jail? I thought you'd be in jail for sure. Good for you not being in jail. Or you go to Aunt Edna, really still alive, good for you. I thought for sure you'd have a heart attack by now. Probably not the best place to praise. So make sure it is something positive. Also, we praise specific things. When you say something like, good job today, sure, that's better than nothing. It is better than nothing, but the challenge is when people have low self-esteem and you say, great job, automatically what happens in their brain? They don't believe you, and they say, yeah, right, whatever, you're just saying that. And so you need to give something specific that they can't refute. Meaning, the way you handle the Jones fill in the blank was perfect. When you did this, this, and this, good job. They can't refute it. They were there. They know the results. It'll be more powerful. And make it sincere. Make it genuine. That makes it go a lot further. Again, it works even if it's not. But I'm telling you that this is a powerful thing. You bruise that ego. You back somebody into a corner, strange things will happen. For example, I was talking to a student working on a foreclosure. Just came from the bank. Person's losing their house in 2 days. And they go to the door. They knock on the door. And first of all, we know that a foreclosure would be a very emotionally charged situation. Is that true? And a self-esteem is at an all-time low. So he came up there to help. He had a solution. And he says, look, I'm here to help you out. Says, the person says, I'm already taking care of it. I'm good. Thanks anyway, and shut the door. Now the person said, wait, hold on. The guy opened the door again. Now what should we do in this situation, understanding ego and esteem? Should we say, hey, you're lying to me. Why would you lie to me? You know you shouldn't lie. I'm here to help you out. You think that would help or hurt? Yeah, it would definitely hurt. Now, instead of backing them into a corner, we could say, I'm glad you've taken care of it. You know, I've been in this business for a while. And I've found out that sometimes the first thing that you have, the first thing that's going to work out, doesn't always work out. Can I be number two? Will you let me be number two? Here's my business card, my number. If for any reason that first thing doesn't work out, give me a call. I specialize in helping people save their homes. Feel the difference? And that's the important thing. Again, we can have all the logic in the world, but we are dealing with emotional creatures. Now, sometimes on the flip side, you can challenge the ego. Anytime somebody challenges your abilities, especially your abilities to do your business, what is your immediate reaction? Well, we want to prove them wrong. And here's an example. If a supervisor said, well, I'm not sure you're able to get those reps of yours producing, so I'm going to hire a consultant. If there's an ego involved or an esteem, sometimes people will say, no, it's not going to happen. Or you'd say something like, well, are you the decision maker? Or network marketing, we have people say, well, I'm just looking for go-getters. I'm looking for people who can take action. that would be kind of a challenge to the ego sometimes, challenge to that self-esteem. We see this with football coaches. What happens is someone's late to football practice and they make that one person run laps. Doesn't work very well. But when that one person is late and they make the whole team run laps, well, that one person who was late watch and not have to run, do you think that's a challenge to their self-esteem, a challenge to their ego? It's probably even a challenge to their life. And there's a little different way to look at it. So sometimes we can do that, but for the most part, really understand how that works. So this is what I want you to start thinking about. There is a term out there called a loser's limp. I believe, and I'm not 100% positive, I think Zig Ziglar coined it. It's basically your pre-excuse for failure. And we see it in sports. For example, every year my sister, she's a marathon runner. We'll go run a half marathon together just to make sure. I'm not sure why I do it, but anyway, it's hard. It's 13 miles. But before the race, you hear people say things like, well, you know, I haven't trained as much as I should, so I'll just see how well I do. Another person might say, yeah, my knee's been acting up. I'll just try it out and see what happens. Now, if you know anything about the human brain, you've given your brain an excuse that it's okay to fail. And when you tell your brain that it's okay to fail, what happens? You fail. If you can see yourself finishing the race and you visualize that, there's a whole different outcome. The reason I bring this up, let's say the workplace, for example, that a lot of times you're trying to get people to do projects. And this is anything that you do. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to risk it. Maybe they don't want to look bad. They're not sure it's going to work out. It sounds like too much work. What if? And you can fill in the blank. And you'll get a lot of excuses and reasons not to do it sometimes because of the risk. And they'll come up with all these reasons why it's not going to work before you even look at it, before you even try it. And when someone's in that mode, your goal is to help them see the benefits, help them see themselves doing it, and help them realize that if it takes 20 hours of their time, ultimately it's going to save them 1,000 hours of their time or save them $100,000 in bills or make them an extra $100,000. Otherwise, you get that knee-jerk reaction of, oh, I don't know if I can do it. It's too risky. Why rock the boat? They say it just in case to save face before they even try. So what's your homework? First of all, your job with everybody you meet, whether you need something from them or not, whether you know them or not, boost their self-esteem for two reasons. It's the right thing to do. And it will boost your own self-esteem. Think about it. When you praise somebody, you feel better about yourself. And when somebody praises you, don't refute it. Just say thank you. Because if you try to refute it, it hurts their self-esteem too. And you're teaching them not to do it. Perfect strangers, people in the workplace, your family, learn to praise everyone. It opens the doors to influence. You want to show them that they're wrong. You want to win an argument. You want to confuse them. You want to back them into a corner. You have lost the ability to influence them. You maybe might be able to force them to do it, but they're not doing it out of their own free will and choice. And that's the importance of these tools. Make it part of you. Work on it, and you'll see a big difference in your success, in your wealth, and your income.